Hello and welcome back to Religica. My name is Karsten Kahoot. I'm the editor for these podcasts. And as my time at Religica is coming to an end, myself and co-founder of Religica, Dr. Michael Reach Rice, decided to sit down and have a frank conversation about what I perceive to be my generation's worldviews, as well as views on organized religion. Take a listen.
This is a Religica production.
R-E-L-I-G-I-C-A.
You may not be, how old are you?
20 years of age.
Okay. I mean, there are a lot of people right now of many different ages who are listening to this. And there is some truth cross-generationally that we're looking for different things. What do you think? When we talk about the crisis or the, when we talk about the what's needed generationally, we talk about Religica, what do you think is needed as you reflect on deeper meaning making? I mean, are these the kinds of platforms that help others, or is there something that we're also missing?
I would say this platform is a platform that can help people because so much of what we do is featuring profiles that get stuff done. Mm-hmm. You know, in the age of cable news, there's a lot of talk. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk everywhere. But being able to see people that are causing real change mm-hmm. is important and is inherently valuable in that it can show that there is still room for good in the world. Mm-hmm. It's no secret that there's many statistics that show the current generation as being more prone to things like depression and otherwise mental illnesses that come out of place of being troubled about the world or troubled about your place in the world. Having a platform which features conversations which consider many different viewpoints but aren't just conversations and they expand into different parts of life. I guess you could use faith with works, if you will. Yeah. That's important for this generation. In an age where it's a lot about image and not much else, a platform like Religica can provide an example.
Faith with works. I mean, we can change the terminology if we need to, like, you know, deeper substantial meaning, spiritual, a sense of spiritual journey or deeper discovery that's connected to authentic works in the world, all that, I think, is saying something similar to what you're expressing. I think one of the things that concerns me most when we talk about why we need to create things like this is it seems to me that we're entering a time where a lot of people will choose to be hopeful, and there will be a simultaneous level of people who feel pretty bereft about what's happening in the world. For any, you name your topic, name your poison, your challenge. And my concern for those who are 20 and younger is that we will see heightened rates of people who take their own lives or who run out of steam halfway through life and experience dissonance and anxiety in a world that other generations have faced, but maybe in wartime, and we're entering a time, I think, where it'll be perpetuated with changing climate and a more chaotic and less sense of dependency or a dependable external world. And that really concerns me. When I think about why we create things like this, it's in some ways it's meant to provide a preemptive response to a future forecast. How do you respond to that? Do you think there's any validity in what I'm saying in terms, I mean, you're looking out, I'm 50, I'm looking back a little bit, you're looking out. What do you see that resonates in that?
I think a big part of it is that we have so much generally as a society, and to qualify that, I mean, in terms of our advancements as a species, mm-hmm. we have so much.
like name a couple, like we do, don't we? There's so much that we've done.
I mean,
Medicine
is the one I was going to say immediately. Okay. At least in the United States, abundant food supply yeah. because of advancements in science generally. Again, I don't have the exact yeah. terms for it. Yeah. But there's also this sense of this is it. We're in the future. Or we're going to be very shortly. Okay. Yeah. That's, you know.
Just okay.
Right? Yeah. It's like there's nothing to be really excited about.
Do you and your friends talk about that?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
About this.
I mean,
is this okay to talk about this a little bit?
Today? Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Do you, I mean, what do you all, what's the consensus? What do you 20-year-olds say to each other about this?
The consensus usually comes down to a form of nihilism in some sense or the other, but not in the sense that it was maybe 10 years ago where it was just nothing matters, let's go crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's more like nothing matters and nothing matters.
Yeah. More serious, more earnest, maybe.
Yeah. And what I get concerned about is, personally, I'm drawn to optimistic nihilism, that being, if there is no meaning, just create your own meaning.
Mm-hmm.
But the potential for optimism in how we live today is pretty limited.
Okay.
And so it started to fade from discourse, I guess, is the way to put it.
In the fading from discourse, does the word hope have a kind of hollowness to it? Does it feel Pollyannic?
Yes. It's more often to, in talking about serious things, it's more common to say like, well, nothing matters, haha, than it is to say it will get better.
One generation often can look to the generation underneath it and show its failures. But what I'm beginning to see in this current generation of 20-somethings, early 20-somethings, is a recognition that the failures that they want to point to are not singularly in the generation before them. There's something about the species, or something about how we've created civilizations themselves, something about how we order our lives that is impossible to sustain. And curiously, we haven't come up with the kind of generative, creative, dynamic, coherent response that will take us to the next level together, is what I'm sensing. Just asking in terms of religion, where did religion, do you think, get it wrong?
Ronald Reagan.
Really?
Sorry.
That's specific.
No.
Ronald Reagan. That's when it all went down.
That's when it all went down. I mean, I'm joking, but also it does seem like there's an aspect to it where when organized religion started to break down the separation of church and state with an established political party, that started to cast doubt on religious institutions as a whole. So interestingly, you see the rise of general spiritualism. It's so individual now. It's not about being a part of something greater. It's about, I'm going to do this for me, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think most actions can be traced back to a level of selfishness that is just inherent to who we are as human beings. But if organized religion was to establish itself as separate from the state, then I believe there would be a level of return to organized religions, the generation after mine, as a response to this generation's beliefs.
So as a way, as I'm hearing it, is another way of saying this, I mean, the way you said is perfectly clear, but I'm just wondering if what's happened is that organized religion has a way of taking the search for deeper meaning and codifying it in a way that tends to wring out, like a sponge, you know, like a dish towel, it tends to wring out something that is essential.
Definitely.
To our shared lives.
Yes, definitely.
It seems to, that's problematic, isn't it? It means the organizing structure isn't the vessel or the home that it hopes to or intends to hold that sense of sacred.
Right. And the irony is that we have more choice than ever now.
Yeah.
Right. Like Charlemagne in the 800s wasn't exactly a big fan of anyone who wasn't a Christian.
Yeah.
And they were going to be a Christian or a Catholic, I suppose. You know, so, but it's almost like the false pretense of, we want you to think for yourself, but then all the content that you're given, all the literature that you're given, is pushing you subtly in a certain way, as I think many people have experienced through organized religion or through education that's framed in a certain context, is part of that degrading, I suppose.
We're having a pretty serious conversation about how we understand hope and optimism and also feeling bereft of what's happening in the world. And I'm asking you also from your perspective, which isn't just generationally fixed. You're saying a lot of really interesting things, but you do have a window to where you are in time alongside other 20-year-olds and a couple of years on either side, that we have this tendency to look to that kind of pivot or hinge in a human life and point to it and say, those folks are going to be our future. And we all kind of impose on them what future we think we see. When you and your friends talk about the future you see, where you can thrive, what do you see? How do you frame that?
We usually just don't. We usually just don't think about what's to come in the far future. It's usually, how can we work as hard as we can to prove someone wrong, is my impression usually. Because the generation that would be described as millennials just got completely destroyed in the public forum, right?
Mm-hmm. How'd they get destroyed?
That was a very colloquial way to say it. The millennial generation was continually told that they are lazy, selfish, conceited. I guess it's pretty similar, a little bit different, by news outlets, online articles. And so now my generation, who grew up seeing all of that, is thinking, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow to make sure that doesn't happen? Mm-hmm. The future doesn't matter. The planet's on fire. Inserting my own political opinion, our political discourse doesn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon. And this is specific to the U.S. What do we do tomorrow? How do we work hard tomorrow? Because if there is no end game, I might as well just work. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully get to a place where I can say, yeah, I'm happy with my life right now.
Name two features of happiness that are essential for you to be able to say that.
Self-security, knowing who you are. That might actually just be because we're 20-year-olds.
But you get a pass on that.
Yeah.
We all went through it.
Yeah. Self-security and not being dissatisfied with your day-to-day life. So not necessarily being super excited about what you're doing every day, but not being frustrated about what you're doing day-to-day. Making your life as least uncomfortable as it can be, to the point where you have a chance to think about, okay, is this actually good?
I've been speaking today with Carsten Kahoot, who is the ear behind all of these Religica podcasts and has been working and editing through all the work that you've heard, and comes also from a generation of young adults, not millennials, post-millennials.
I think it's Gen Z, isn't it?
Gen Z.
Yeah.
Thinking aloud with me on questions of meaning making and a shared future. This is Michael Trice for Religica.
You have been listening to Religica. Visit us at www.religica.org.